What's up, everyone? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you live inside of the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I thought I'd just throw that in since you're always just like yelling it.
I've got to let the people know we're live here.
We're live. Yes. We're glad that you could join us. We have a great show on tap for you today. Jake Seeley and his weekly rankings, as per usual, as per tradition on Thursdays. So he's going to give us the goods and he's got some explaining to do because there's a situation happening in Baltimore and I wasn't supposed to bring it up, but I don't really do what I'm told usually. So we're going to talk to Jake about his wide receiver rankings.
He changed his mind. It happens.
And you know what? Everyone is entitled to change their mind.
Yes.
Things fluctuate all the time.
All
but we're just
going
to find out what went into the decision that made him swap Wallace and Steve Smith Senior.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And then we have Mike Clifford. Michael Clifford, he's going to join us. We're doing NHL DFS here today on the show. But first, news and notes and some injuries and some good news for the muscle hamster.
Dougie Fresh. Dougie Fresh feeling a little bit better, returning to practice. It was limited yesterday. And again, we are live, so more news will filter through with Doug Martin and if he's going to play. But some reports, Jane Lane from ESPN covers the Bucks, of course, says that she thinks it's probably going to be a little bit of a committee between him and Peyton Barber. Of course, he hasn't played for a long time. He suffered a setback. He of course, missed more time. But the thing is with Martin, and if you're a Martin owner, you're just ecstatic to hear that he's getting back on the football field because we've been talking about the Bucks' schedule, you know, the rest of the way, especially in fantasy playoff time, week 14, 15, and 16. They get the Saints twice. You can run all over this team. So I don't feel comfortable playing him this week. If you're in a pinch, maybe you get through. And Peyton, the same kind of deal.
Yeah.
I like Martin a little bit more, but you can't feel comfortable playing either of these guys this weekend up against Chicago. It's not a bad matchup. It's just I feel like he might be on a pitch count. He may only get a handful of snaps.
You have to see how the situation is going to work itself out. And really, has any team had worse luck than the Bucks at running back this year?
No, I mean, Rodgers and Sims.
Yeah.
And then Anton Smith came in. Then he's done for the year.
He's gone immediately.
It's real rough for Tampa Bay. But some also good news that we're not really touching on. Mike Evans returned to practice.
Yep.
He was dealing with a concussion. Looks like he's full go this weekend. And also in the last Thursday night game, it was Jameis Winston who suffered a knee injury near the end of that game. And he says he's fine, too. So it looks like they're starting to get some of their weapons back, which is a fantasy football-friendly situation.
Absolutely. And CJ Procise expected to see an increased workload. Pete Carroll says he's going to play a lot. And you know what? That's nice that he'll be on the field. But is he going to touch the ball a lot? Because there's a big difference. Seattle ran the ball eight times. Not one person. Everyone in the backfield ran
Wilson
the ball
Lockett.
Eight times. Procise had 3 carries, 5 for Christian Michael. And this whole situation is just a disaster for me. Like, I don't want any piece of this. Thomas Rawls in the picture. He's going to be coming back soon.
Yeah.
So unless they decide to commit to the run, which doesn't seem to be in their game plan, this is not a backfield that I want a piece of, which is disappointing for Michael owners because he was doing quite well.
Yeah, I mean, the time to sell him was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Ashley, you drafted him late, and he was probably your 4th or 5th back. But as you're right. I mean, you don't want a part of this. But one thing I will say is that New England usually does a pretty good job. Bill Belichick does a good job of taking away the opposing team's best player, and I think that's Jimmy Graham. So maybe they run a little bit. But the thing with Procise is he can catch, and Michael, they're not giving Michael those opportunities.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to slightly like Procise a little bit more than Michael because he's catching and they can't run. The line is not great. Wilson looked a little bit better in terms of just moving around in the pocket. He's got a smaller knee brace on, so maybe that opens up things for the run game, but it's not good. Procise certainly should be added, though. I think his role is going to grow, but you're right. I mean,
do you expect Jimmy Graham to have a good week? Because the Patriots know a little bit about, like, I guess, practicing at least against some real good tight ends.
Yes.
And, they've rostered a few of them in terms of Gronk, and then you had Hernandez back in the day.
I know, and then Bennett's there.
Case.
So that's what I mean. I feel like Belichick could do a really good job of taking away Jimmy Graham and Baldwin, and knowing that they can't run, and they haven't been running lately, and maybe
force
they just try to take out that aerial attack, and maybe that opens up the door for Procise for a little dink and dunk, as we like to call, or maybe just a couple runs for Michael. But we'll move on here. Randall Cobb is up on the injury
report.
Tell
me about him.
a couple weeks ago. He just randomly appeared out of nowhere that he wasn't going to play. And then last week, it was looking like he wasn't going to play. And then all of a sudden, randomly out of nowhere, this guy plays. A lot of people had him out of the lineup. Didn't do a whole lot, besides the fact that he found the end zone and scored a touchdown. So this is just somebody to keep an eye on. If he practices on Friday, that seems to be the big thing. If these guys can get on the football field and practice Friday, he's been limited really all week long. So keep an eye on that situation. For me, if he's out, Adams gets an uptick. Ty Montgomery is down. For me, he's the worst of the four wide receivers, talking about Jordy Nelson as well.
Yep.
And Devontae Adams and Cobb and Montgomery, because it looks like James Starks could return this weekend. He's practicing.
Which would be great for him.
If he's available, you go ahead and pick him up, because he can get a lot of volume.
Well, because Aaron Rodgers has been the leading rusher for Green Bay over the last little while, which is he rushed for like 60 yards. You don't want that if you're a football team. It's not good balance.
No.
It really isn't. Travis Benjamin held out of practice. He sprained his PCL 2 weeks ago. He played last week, but then exited the game in the second half after re-aggravating his injury. So what that means is it looks like you're going to fire up Terrell Williams. He was also held out of practice, but it's the same thing that happened last week. He was limited all week, and then he was a full go on Friday, and he ended up playing. He had a pretty good week, but the thing is that Dontrell Inman was the one who out-targeted and had more receptions than Terrell Williams. He didn't find the end zone, but between these two guys, who do you think is on track for a better week this week, Chris?
I think it's Williams, but Inman is really intriguing, and he's available in a lot of leagues. And, you know, before last week, he had 13 targets in two straight games, and, you know, I'm out on Benjamin. I think he's not practicing because he's not 100%. They don't want to suffer
a
setback. He's not going to be 100%. And if he doesn't play in this game, like, Inman is certainly startable. This San Diego schedule the rest of the way is awesome really nice. Come playoff time, Phillip Rivers has a wicked schedule. And a lot of these receivers, I mean, if you look at Tyrell Williams, seven targets, six catches, 65 yards, a touchdown, 10 targets, seven catches, 140 yards, six targets, five catches, 117 at a touchdown. All those are really good numbers. And that's three of the five. The two games that he didn't do well was against Denver.
Yeah,
so we have to just give him the pass.
Yeah.
I didn't even count them. That's why I didn't want to bring him up.
Every single game he's had 100 yards or more or a touchdown. In one case, both.
Yeah.
And then Denver just absolutely locks him down. But you don't have to see him anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
They're done.
Just flat out invisible against Denver. Yeah. And that happens a lot. So really intriguing to talk to Jake later on about the Saints offense and what they're going to be able to do against the Broncos.
Let's talk about Evander Kane quickly. I know you want to hit on some hockey. He started for the first time since breaking five ribs in Buffalo's season opener. He played against Ottawa and saw a lot of ice time.
Yeah, he should be picked up everywhere, I believe, especially in leagues with hits and shots and pims. If you're in a straight points league, maybe you don't want a piece of him. But five shots, five hits in two games. And you just look at last year, in only 65 games, 20 goals, 271 shots. If he played the other 20 games-ish, he'd be right there, top five in the NHL in shots, 171 hits and 91 penalty minutes. This is one of the few players across the board who can just contribute everywhere. Mm-hmm. So much like Evander Kane at left wing, if you don't want him, Patrick Maroon at left wing is playing with Connor McDavid, and already really good to start the season.
Always
30 shots,
upgrade.
35 hits. Always underrated. Always. Never gets the love.
Yeah.
Five goals, 7 points, playing with McDavid. And then another guy at left wing, guys very similar to what Maroon did last year with Anaheim, is Nick Ritchie, playing with Perry and Getzlaf. Second in the league in hits, 48. He scored a goal last night. He's got 4 points already. So pick up these low-end guys that nobody's really thinking about, especially if you're in leagues with hits and shots.
And just quickly, if you're going to dabble in some NBA DFS today, Steph Curry left the game with an ankle injury, had to be retaped, came back, said he's fine, but they are playing Denver tonight, a game they should win without him in the lineup. So look for him to either sit or be limited. And dare I say it, could it be a Clay day today?
It started yesterday. He started the game 8 for 8, and it looked like he was going to have like 50 points, and he ends up with like 20
He has like 24 points, 20 points.
Yeah.
He's been very accurate from the behind the arc yesterday. Yeah. So I think it's a Clay day.
It's going to be a Clay day.
It's a Jake Seeley day coming up next on FST. We tackle his Week 10 rankings. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for our Week 10 weekly rankings with Jake Seeley from Roto Experts. Jake, jump on into the conversation right now, because just before we came back on TV, Chris equated getting engaged to the end of your life. How do you feel about that?
Wow. I mean, at this point in my life, it might be that. It might happen the same day for me, so who knows?
This girl's calling me out all over the place.
It might be the last day of my life. Oh, that's terrible. Okay, let's look at your rankings, because that's what we're here for. We're not here to talk about relationships, although although we are talking about relationships between quarterbacks and the yards that they throw and their connections with their receivers, because that is what ended up having Drew Brees at number four taking on Denver. He's ranked pretty high, Jake, against a defense that tends to lock people down. We were just talking about the fact that Terrell Williams was absolutely silent against Denver when he's had some really good games when he's not facing them.
Yeah, Jake, a lot of people in the office who have Brees don't even want to play him this week. I'm with you. I think he's a top five quarterback. I'm not really extremely worried, and you don't seem to be either.
No, because it's Drew Brees at home. That's really what it's all about. If you look at Drew Brees, the last 2 years, he's averaging 33.2 fantasy points per game at home. And actually this season alone, he's at 35 fantasy points, 382 yards, and 3 touchdowns per game. Drew Brees is on another level. He's a fantasy god at home, which is really kind of what creates the misnomer that he's not good on the road. He's still great on the road. He's just not this level when it comes to what he plays at. So it's all about Drew Brees playing at home. And the fact is, Denver's defense, yes, has been very formidable against the pass, especially against wide receivers. They've been letting up a lot to the run, but you know what? This is Drew Brees. This is the Saints offense. This is Saints offense with Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, one of my favorite players this year, Willie Steed, Kobe Fleener. Both backs are capable out of the backfield, where I have no concerns about this. Maybe it's only 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but that still puts him in the top 5. I don't need 380 to get out of him, and it's really just the fact that, again, it comes down to Drew Brees at home. There's no stopping him.
Yeah, and you've been dead on about Michael Thomas. That guy's awesome.
Love it.
Giving him credit?
Yeah, why not? It deserves it.
His head's big enough. He knows he's good. Let's take a look at your running back rankings.
We'll make it smaller later on, though.
Let's take a look at your running back rankings and see where you stand on some of these guys. So Devontae Booker was expected to have a really big week last week, and now everyone's talking about Bibbs.
Bibbs.
Capri Bibbs.
Do we need to Capri pump the Bibbs. Tires, like, pump the brakes on Capri
Yeah,
here?
But was it one of those things where everyone was too high on Booker and they needed to pump the brakes?
Yeah.
And now they're just having the same overreaction to Bibbs. What's your stance on this whole situation?
That's pretty much how I look at it. The one good thing about Devontae Booker, and the reason I liked him, he was in my top 3 rookie running backs coming out of the draft, is the fact that he's very similar to C.J. Anderson. And actually, when he went to the Broncos, I wrote that in a breakdown saying, if C.J. Anderson were to ever get hurt, and this guy has a history of injuries, as we've seen, Devontae Booker could step in and be him. And that's the best part about him. So I think a lot of people are overreacting to last week. Maybe there's a case here with Booker's shoulder isn't 100%. But let's remember, too, Capri Bibbs seemed more of a share. Doesn't necessarily mean he's obviously going to see the head workload here. A share is going to be more even if he gets 15 touches this week, because he only had 9 snaps. So any improvement over that is going to be a higher share of the touches. But if you look at the situation here, it's against the Saints, the game we were just talking about, and what they're giving up, 31.9 fantasy points per game to running backs. I love Booker this week, and heck, Bibbs in a deeper league could possibly get you some flex running back value.
Let's continue with running backs. Let's go a little bit deeper on 21 to 30. You know, finally, you see Hightower there. Ivory's the guy that I really want to get into. Ash and I touched on Michael. Just seems like it's not a great situation in Seattle with Rawls coming back soon. Barber's in there as well. Let's talk about Ivory, because this is probably the highest you've had him all season long, Jake. Finally, last week, a really good game. The running, the line hasn't been good for him. I think you and I both agree that it looked like he actually had a touchdown last week, but he wasn't credited with that. You can run on Houston. Is this like the one time that you could play Ivory this week or this year?
I think it might be. It'll be one of the few times you can actually feel a little confident about using him the rest of the way. This is really surprising. They signed Chris Ivory after how good he was for the Jets last year, and yes, a lot of it was touchdown dependent, but I think we expected more usage, especially at the goal line for him. And if you look at this matchup, yes, the one thing you can do against the Texans, you can't pass, but you can definitely run. 10th most fantasy points per game to running backs. They've given up 8 rushing touchdowns, the 5th most in the league, and actually every single team so far has scored double digit points against them at the running back position. So this is a matchup that leans towards Ivory. TJ Yeldon could possibly still get you some deeper PPR value, but this is a matchup that points to Ivory having value, especially if he can find his way into the end zone, which this is a game where they probably want to lean on the run a little bit more, given the struggles of Blake Bortles, given the struggles of the passing game. So there's a great chance for a score, and you know this, and when it comes to fantasy, you get one touchdown, that really probably puts you inside the top 20 for running backs.
What was wrong with Ivory? Do we still not know, like, that mysterious injury at the start of the year?
Like,
maybe he's just starting to come into his own. I don't know.
Yeah, he just wasn't right.
There's no clue. Maybe he got food poisoning. He didn't want to tell everybody he was on the crapper all day long.
He's on the crapper for like weeks.
Guys, please.
All right, Ashley's a fan.
A little class. God. All right, let's look at our...
He was in the duvet, I'm sorry.
He was in the water closet, at least.
There you go.
Let's take a look at your wide receiver rankings, 21 to 30. And funny thing, Jake, I was perusing the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and happened to catch the Pat Mayo Hour and was listening
Here
to a
go.
Debate based on Mike Wallace or Steve Smith Sr. And it seems as though you have changed your opinion on Steve Smith and maybe bumped him up a little bit more than Mike Wallace, which is something that...
No, other way around.
Other way?
Yeah.
Mike Wallace is...
Look, if you're going to call me out, get it right.
I think he likes Wallace
I'm
more now.
I'm just checking. You like Wallace more than Steve Smith, but you had it the other way around.
Yeah, I was with the debate was, and we were saying in PPR leagues, is Chris was on the side of saying Mike Wallace, mm-hmm. Pat was on the side of Steve Smith, and I broke the tie and said Steve Smith. I ran my projections, this is before I had my rankings out, and Mike Wallace still got the slight edge. It's very close, though. You're starting both guys. The Cleveland passing defense is horrific. They've given up at least one touchdown passing to every single quarterback this year, actually five games with three passing touchdowns. So it's a very small debate. It's a very small gap between the two. I just expected my numbers to come out in favor of Steve Smith in a PPR league. I actually do think he is the safer player still in PPR leagues, but if you're looking at the upside for pure points, Wallace did edge him out. So yeah, if you're going to call me out, at least get it right. Don't get back.
I agree he is safer, but
that's
I just
fair.
Like I like that he reversed the tie, and I mean, you got to let Pat know that.
Yeah, make sure you tweet
you
that at Pat.
And
you are right.
If I'm going to tires in the Pat Mayo.
If I'm going to call you out, I do need to be correct. So I'll take the L on that one, but I actually want to know, we always target people that are playing the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, like there's really no explanation needed. But I want to know, in your opinion, how much of a boost percentage-wise do assets have against Cleveland for you?
It comes down, you start with the quarterback and kind of apply it to the wide receivers. Actually, either way you go, you need the numbers to match up. I hate when you see projections out there and you have two wide receivers for a team inside the top 20 and the quarterback down at 20. You need them to match up. So really, if you look at the situation, you take the numbers and the projections, you look at a per game basis, you usually see about a 10% boost or so. So basically a receiver is averaging 70, 80 yards a game. You can see an extra 8 to 10 yards for this guy, a higher percentage chance for a touchdown. Down, and that's really what it comes down to. You're never going to say you're going to get a 40% boost because of the matchup, mm-hmm. but you do see a slight increase or decrease if you're looking at the reverse of facing the Broncos.
All right, let's get to your tight ends quickly. We got a board 11 through 20. We're really just going to focus on this Philadelphia passing attack because they're going up against Atlanta. Atlanta's been scoring points left, right, and center. They're also allowing a lot. You got Pitta, Witten, Zach Ertz, who showed up in a big way last week. He was one of only like a couple tight ends that couldn't find the end zone. But what do you think about Philadelphia moving forward here in this game? Doug Peterson says he wants Carson Wentz to throw the ball less. That would mean, I guess, Bryan Matthews getting on the football field. Doesn't seem like that's happening. Is Ertz a guy that you can start? And maybe touch on Jordan Matthews a bit.
Yeah, I think Jordan Matthews is a terrific play so far this year. If you look at the matchup, giving up 14 touchdowns to receivers so far. I love his potential. Even if Carson Wentz is throwing less, there's still plenty to go around here because it's really two guys. It's Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews. If you look at Ertz, what the Falcons did, they started off the first four games giving up five touchdowns, at least one in every single game to tight ends. They had a little dry spell, but that included the Broncos, Jimmy Graham, who still had 89 yards in his game, and the Chargers. Those are the only teams they held out of the end zone. Cameron Brate got back into the end zone last week with 43 yards. I think Ertz kind of keeps that going. Hopefully he scores his first touchdown of the year, but even if he only gets 80 yards, I'm still going to take that as a potential tight end one this week.
All right, man, we got to get out of here. We're glad that you could join us as always. And will you come back next week, even though I called you out, even though I got it wrong?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just make sure you get it right. You can call me out every single week. Just get it right.
That's fair. Thanks a lot, Jake. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, man. Right.
And I love what you guys are saying. Finally, I don't have to rag on you about Philly because Atlanta has allowed 330 passing yards at least over the last 4 weeks and no less than 24 points.
You can rag on me Monday if they don't do anything.
All right, I will.
I'll be prepared.
I'll be sure. All right, coming up next, we're switching gears, NHL DFS. The This is Fantasy Sports Today. 10 games on the ice tonight. So we're talking NHL, DFS,
yes.
And one of our favorite guests, Michael Clifford at Slim Cliffy, one of the best Twitter handles that we have.
Might be the best.
One of the best. Mine's pretty good, but this is not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to debate Twitter handles. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Yeah, 10 games on the ice. I know when you're writing your articles for Project Roto, I don't know if you start in goal, but that's where we want to start. And a lot of people here don't want me to talk about Montreal. Well, too bad. Carey Price is the most expensive goalie on DraftKings and FanDuel. There's a pretty good big gap on FanDuel, $700 more than Tuukka Rask. The Canadiens allowing the most shots against per game. Is this like a no-brainer? Are you paying up for Price tonight, even though LA was able to get 7 goals in their last game?
Yeah, I think that's where it's kind of curious is that I can understand staying away from Price in cash games just because, as you mentioned, he's just so expensive that it can kind of limit you elsewhere, especially on FanDuel where you're paying up, nearly 20% of your total salary. But where Los Angeles really shelled the Leafs the other night, I think you'll see some low ownership on Price tonight. People are going to be afraid of the Kings, and because Price is so expensive, people want to avoid him. You know, they want to save some money so they can pay up for some more expensive players. I mean, just on Tuesday night, Price was at home against the Boston Bruins, and he was pretty much around 10% or less owned in most tournaments. So I think you can get him at a really low ownership rate, and it actually kind of makes a sneaky tournament play because, as you mentioned, with all those shots coming in, it gives him tremendous upside. You know, if there's any goalie in the NHL that could save, 36 of 37 shots or something like that, it's definitely Price.
Speaking of shots coming in, you have David Pastrnak for the Boston Bruins. He has 14
awesome.
Shots on goal in the last 4 games. He's also put up a ton of points recently. They are playing Columbus, however, so I'm wondering your thoughts on that. Columbus has 2 goals against, just about 3.18 goals for, but also you have to take into account the 10 goals they put up on Les Habitants.
Without Price.
So without Price and goal, but what do you think of that situation there?
Yeah, Pastrnak's price to me, especially on FanDuel, is just way, way too low. You look at what he's done in his career. He's been pretty much 2.4 points per 60 minutes of 5-on-5 for his NHL career. And that's literally like top 10 in the NHL over his games played. His price is just way too low right now. If I'm not mistaken, he's averaging the most points per game on FanDuel amongst all wingers so far this year, and it's not even particularly close. It's gone up a little bit. I think it's 5,600 today, but to me, that's still way too low. If it was 6,600 or 7,000, then it's more of a conversation. But where he's playing on the top line, he's going to get some fair amount of minutes on that second power play unit. And yes, Columbus has been good, but a lot of that has been Sergei Bobrovsky. And with Columbus on the back-to-back, goalies tend not to do as well on the back on the second game of a back-to-back. So I think Boston can get to him here today. And if you don't want to pay up on FanDuel, for Bergeron and Marchand, then Pastrnak's definitely a good way to get exposure.
Ashley and I were talking about just the struggles Calgary's had. I mean, Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, just not really playing. I mean, I would try to acquire Sean Monahan in a lot of season-long leagues if I didn't own him everywhere. Is this much of maybe a GPP player? Do you feel comfortable playing him tonight in cash?
He's not one of my big targets for cash games tonight, just because, as you mentioned, he has struggled a fair bit, and he's not a guy that's typically taken a lot of shots, but it's especially true so far this year. He's under 2 shots per game, and that's just not something you want to rely on in your cash games. But absolutely, for tournaments, you should be looking in his direction. Dallas is in town, and we know all the injuries Dallas has had. They're missing pretty much their entire second and third lines. They're giving up a lot of shots. Their goaltending combined this year is under 900 in all situations. And his price has gone down a fair amount. It's only 5,400 on DraftKings today. So I wouldn't necessarily target him in cash games, but for tournaments, I think he'll go relatively low owned because there are, teams like Tampa Bay and Boston tonight, and Pittsburgh always has a lot of ownership. So I think he can get a fairly cheap stack in a really good situation. And, he doesn't need, gets that Dallas goaltending, he doesn't need a lot of shots to pop a couple goals. So I'll definitely be taking a risk.
And if there's anyone that's due, it's him. 1 goal, 1 assist in the last 7 games.
Yeah.
We have about 45 seconds left. So I just want to get some defensive plays that you're thinking for tonight.
Yeah, Matthias Ekholm is one for me for Nashville. I mean, he's on that top power play unit with Roman Josi, and while he's not necessarily a point producer, you can certainly rely on him for a fair amount of blocked shots, and that gives him a safe floor. And he's fairly cheap as well. He's under 4,000 on DraftKings. And another guy I'm looking at is, if you're going to pay up, is Oliver Ekman-Larsson out of Arizona. Winnipeg's giving up the most shot attempts per 60 minutes on the penalty kill. They've generally just not been good on the PK for a couple years now. So if you want to pay up on the blue line for somebody that might not be highly targeted, it's definitely Ekman-Larsson.
All right.
That's perfect.
Perfect timing. Ended greatly. Michael, we appreciate your time. Good luck on the ice, man. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Always a pleasure. Take care, guys.